Hey everybody, it's Michael from Fantasy Movie Mashup.
And it's Xavier, that kid.
Guys, this week we'll be talking about My Hero again. And it's because Xavier has finally finished the series, plus he has watched the My Hero movie.
So I just wanted to make like a cheesy like, plus ultra. Nah, yeah, I finally caught up, ready for season 4. Come at me, Funimation. Right, Funimation. I want season 4 right now. In order to curb that appetite, I have watched, I think it's My Two Heroes? Is that what it's called? The movie? Like something like that. I don't know. It's the first movie, so you just say like the My Hero Academia movie.
Yeah, the first
one. Yeah.
And they're only doing 3. Like the writer and the animator said there will only be 3 My Hero movies ever. Like they're talking about like season 5 will probably be the last season of My Hero. Season 5 or season 6.
Yeah, like it's interesting because like I feel like animes for the most part go one or two ways. They either go ridiculously long.
One Piece.
Which, ironically enough, I did my ceremonial. I finished watching anime, an anime series, or I'm caught up with an anime series. So I do my ceremonial. I scroll to One Piece, like, should I start it? And then I see that there's like 1,000 episodes, and then I move on. But they either go really long or really short.
I've watched all 1,000 of those episodes.
Well, you started at the beginning. Like I'm years late to the party.
I was a kid when One Piece came out, and now I'm an adult, and it's still out.
One Piece to me is like if I was trying to binge watch all of General Hospital. Oh, 100%. How long has that soap opera been around?
First of all, that has way more episodes than One Piece, but. Overall, though, My Hero itself, with season 3, and it's been out for like over a year, so spoiler alert, if you haven't watched My Hero, go watch it and then come listen to this. Again, spoiler alert, season 3 really showed the complexity to not having All Might. Like, going up to losing All Might and then not having All Might. And having to figure out, hey, not the whole world knows this, but we do, and we probably will not have him ever again. This was never going to be fixed. There is no symbol of peace anymore.
Yeah, see, like, because this is something that I've been, like, reflecting on back and forth, is that, like, My Hero, great character development, great ability to create a plot and a natural flow to having so many supporting characters in one show. Again, like we mentioned before in the previous episodes, that you know you don't have to just like Midoriya or AKA Deku. Like you can like all of the other characters instead and you'd be perfectly fine. You'd be entertained because they're a constant presence in the show. My one critique is that like it flirts with the dark, but it doesn't fully execute it. Like the whole thing with All Might and him dwindling away and him finally like basically using the last of his powers when he fights All For One. And does the United States of Smash, which is amazing. It's such it's such an amazing power move. I don't know. Like, a part of me almost wishes it had a little bit of a Full Metal Alchemist feel. Like, because Full Metal Alchemist really hit you hard. It like, there's certain episodes where you felt it. You felt the deaths.
The thing is like, Shonen's moved away from that. So, when I say Shonen, it's Shonen Jump.
Yeah.
Since Naruto, they've moved towards more of like that type of protagonist and not trying to go too dark.
Right.
Touching the line, but not crossing over it anymore.
I mean, it makes sense from a kid's perspective, you know, getting more kid viewers.
Full Metal Alchemist they cross that line drastically. and you can't get the kid demographic if you go across that line too far.
Yeah.
And for My Hero, they're like, okay, we know there will be anime adults that still watch this, but ultimately the main consumer, because of the look of our characters, will be children.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm like, I understand where they're going from, so I can't be too harsh on them, but... And that kind of leads me into, like, what I would like to see type thing. Like, could you imagine, like, a My Hero Academia? Because this has kind of like a Harry Potter feel with, like, the first years, the second years. Was it class representative or prefix? Yeah. So I would love to see, like, a hero, a villain-based, like, anime. Like, I don't know. Like, where you root for the villain.
You kind of do in Tokyo Ghoul. Like, let's be
they're
honest.
They're viewed as the villain.
No, they're viewed as the villain because, as a human, you would automatically think the ghouls were in it, like, bad guy.
Yeah, but they don't have to.
They don't have to be, but they are.
Tokyo Ghoul's like Twilight. You have some people that feed on people, and then you have some people that drink coffee.
Yeah.
I love how Tokyo Ghoul's. If you guys haven't watched it, Season 2 is okay, but definitely
Season 3 is amazing, actually.
Actually, I scratched the order for me. Season 1, if you're okay with the main protagonist just being very whiny, then go ahead with Season 1. Season 2, you had, like, the main protagonist is, like, he's finally embraced his powers.
But the problem is if you do not watch Season 1 and you don't get to watch those last three episodes...
Oh, you don't have any context.
Legitimately, those last three episodes itself... are some of the best animated fighting scenes.
Oh, like ever. Yes, the sequences, choreography.
And the music, everything goes like super well for that anime in those last three episodes. The overall complexity to Kaneki, the main protagonist in the show, is crazy. But we've starting to see a lot more animes like that. Black Clover this year was really big on the character development and the protagonist. Yeah, he's a normal, like, Shonen Jump, Naruto type of character, but he has, like, an edge to him. And I think they started adding edges to their main protagonist. And for Deku, his edge is, like... You would think his power would be, like, the best part about him. It's not his power, it's his brain. The biggest difference between him and All Might is Deku's a strategist first.
Correct.
All Might was power first and then learned to be a strategist.
That's true. I mean, that's that, like, Deku's appeal. It's funny because, like, when I watch, like, My Hero and you see it, I want to say the two best strategists in that, the Class 1A would be Deku, and then second to that would be Todoroki. Like, those two are the main strategists.
I think the third it would be the one girl, because she's been learning from Deku and Todoroki.
Which one? The
one that can...
Zero gravity, or...
No, the one that makes objects out of her lipids. Yeah, like...
Oh, I forgot what her name is, but...
Yeah.
She's nice to look at.
But she's also I think she's the third best strategist in that class.
Yeah, she is, because she's actually got a very interesting power. And in, if we're segueing back to the My Hero Academia movie, you see a lot of her strategy towards the end of season three, when she's leading her little class, because they get split up, complete an objective. But then in the movie too, you see how
she's way more of a strategist in the movie.
Well, yeah. She has to be, because her power's super, like,
unique.
Yeah, because she can create objects. So, like, she can create a cannon, but she can't create, like, when she creates a cannon, she doesn't create cannons and the cannons have, like, unlimited supply of cannonballs. Like, she then has to create the cannonballs themselves. So when she starts being depleted with lipids, she
She's useless.
Yeah. In reality, her main usage of her power, aside from using it strategically, and she's a very good support character. Because she can provide weapons to... It's like basically having your own weapons caddy. If she's traveling in your group. In reality, she should go like a Stain route. Where she learns how to use a samurai sword. Like, she has weapon proficiency. And then she could just create her weapons. And then use those. That's probably... That's how I would have used her power. And that's what I love. That's the main number one thing that I love about the show. Is that all of their powers... Because they become very, they explain it to you in a very creative way, it actually stimulates you to kind of think of creative ways that you can use your powers. Like Deku's power, which is like ultimate strength, he's like this scrawny cut kid. So where All Might is like this huge jacked like Thor Hulk mashup. Yeah. Like if I was Deku, I would learn how to siphon my power like in the gym. So I can grow muscle mass and get bigger. And then use that power in different ways within the show. Because, like, I mean, All Might almost looks like he's flying.
Yeah.
Like, the way he uses his... kind of like Hulk jump.
Yeah. It's crazy because he doesn't have the... He doesn't have the capability of flying, but he can jump, like, crazy high.
Yeah.
But overall, what with the series, what are you giving the series?
I would give it an 8. I'd give it an 8.
That's a respectable
score. Yeah. Because it's, again, the support characters are so good. Like, my favorite character is Todoroki. Like, his half fire, half ice is such a cool power, but it's also gives super complex... He's got the darkest... one of the darkest backstories, too, which automatically I gravitate to. And his use of his power and, like, it really is a manifestation of his personality. Like, he has the ability to be cool and level-headed, but then at the same time...
He will get angry.
He will get angry. And when he gets angry, it's... I don't know. I like it. Yeah, I think it resonates with me.
So, yeah, I still... Even with the movie, and I also give it... I give it a 8.5. For the entire series plus the movie, just because I feel like the character development is, it's what One Piece is now, but if you think about the start of a series, like One Piece's character development was not even close to how My Hero started, and their character development from the get-go has been amazing. Also, the best character in that show is Bakugo.
Like, I always laugh because Bakugo is one of those characters that where I was like, if Mike was in an anime, very much so like Bakugo.
And he's such a good character because he actually, like, he is a great strategist. Just nobody understands it because of how crazy he goes.
Well, it's because he goes like, I'm going to kill you. But like, every time he rushes into battle.
Yeah, but he's like figured out how to use his powers and strategies like nobody else. Like, the reason why Deku was able to do certain things is because of watching Bakugo.
It's true.
And it's very similar for those who are Naruto fans. It's very similar how Sasuke learned how to do taijutsu from just watching Rock Lee. So he was able to move like Rock Lee because of his ability to understand the movements through the Sharingan and basically make himself better.
The funny thing about Bakugo to me is that he... When I see him and Deku interact, or Midoriya, whichever one you like to use his name for, it's almost as if it's... Because they have a very, like, kind of Goku-Vegeta dynamic.
Yeah.
Only in the opposite. Where, like, in this world, Bakugo is like if Goku actually took training seriously all the time. And basically gave no quarter. And... Vegeta is more like Deku in the instance of he's always had to work harder for what he has. It's weird though, but technically Bakugo won't be able to achieve the same power level as Deku. It's weird, like how they kind of like mash those up together. My one critique of the movie, though, is at the very end of season three, the sequencing became a little sloppy. So, like, the movie itself, if the movie takes place during summer vacation, All Might would have had to have already fought All For One and basically have no, like, he can't use his powers at all. But in the movie, he's able to use his power. I don't get that. Especially,
I think they mushed it in between like season two and three. Instead of being summer break, it's more of like I think it's a break between the first year. It's not between the second year, because season three is the finish up of second year.
Yeah, I don't know, like, because he's using his, what is it, full cowling? So he's using his, like, kicking strategy already.
But not to the extent, like, he's still relying more on his hand than anything.
Right. So that was my one weakness there.
And he finally, in season four, he'll finally have that, that basically equipment that allows him to use more punches. And use more power punches. And he'll have equipment that, again, helps him kick, just like he did in the season three's basically tournament challenge.
I can't wait, because, I mean, especially the whole concept of it's not just your power level, it's like how dedicated and obsessive you are about developing that power. So if you're one of those people, like Mike and myself, who, like, once you find an interest in something, you will keep doing it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until, like, you've, like, achieved full potential. Like, I can't even imagine what it would be like to have those powers. Like, that season four, especially because, like, the introduction of the upperclassmen, it's interesting. Like, I'm interested to see. They can go deeper into these powers, so, which I really, really hope they do. And I want Deku to have more confidence. I think that's, we'll see.
No, but I think that's what he's supposed to overcome throughout this process, is to gain confidence, to use the power more. Because right now he's only using like small percentage of the power. Like, at most, without killing himself now, he can only use 30%. So you're only using 30% of your potential. That's, and you're still able to do what you're doing. That's crazy. And that's the thing about the All For One, is it gives you so, like, you still have to be able to handle the power, and he's just not able to handle it yet.
Could you imagine if they try to introduce like a more supreme bad guy, and it's just like None For All?
Yeah, that would be funny. I don't think they're going to go that route. I think so. You get your All For One, but you have your One For All, and I think that will be always Deku's challenge, no different than it was All Might's challenge.
Yeah.
What I don't want to happen, and I think it could be a plot line, and this is just my assumption, I don't want Bakugo to turn evil and take that power. And it could happen. And they could be making like a very similar Majin Vegeta type story where Bakugo ends up going that route because he can't become more powerful than Deku if he doesn't.
Yeah, because it's interesting because they try to put parallels. So, you know, Deku is supposed to be the All Might replacement, and All Might has the power for One For All. The main villain is All For One, and he has his own apprentice. They kind of started setting up Bakugo to be like Endeavor, but then in the middle of season two, Todoroki is basically resigned to being the greatest number two villain, which would then
be the hero.
So that would be the Endeavor slot, and because Endeavor now is the number one. Is the number one hero. So if Todoroki's supposed to be the number two, and you're supposed to have that parallel rival, which they've established Bakugo is for Deku, they kind of do set it up that he should be the bad guy. The problem is Bakugo, regardless of his ability, Bakugo is the Punisher. Like, if you're looking for MCU...
Comparisons,
yeah, or like crossovers. Like, Stain, to a certain extent, is like that. But Bakugo, after he gets captured and they're trying to convert him to being a villain, proves or like solidifies that he is like the Punisher, where he has no qualms about killing villains. And in all reality, it makes sense. If you kill the villain, then the villain will no longer be a threat. It'll just be a new villain. Unlike most comic book archetypes, where the villain just escapes prison continuously. Yeah. So that portion of it makes sense. But his resolve and him clearly knowing what the line is and being a hero... I don't know. They set it up that he could never be evil like that. I don't know. Something massively... It would have to be more of a Magneto, Charles Xavier dynamic. Where he believes that this is the right thing to do.
Yeah, but this is... I actually think it's the opposite. I actually think it's more of like how Vegeta... Like, Bakugo wants to be the number one. And he is... felt like he has never lost to Deku, and he never wants to lose to Deku. The only comparison I can go through that is Majin Vegeta. Vegeta was so tired of being second place as a Saiyan to Goku, so he accepted the Majin powers just so he could fight Goku.
The thing is,
what has been, like, the main big storylines throughout this process, it's Bakugo and Deku fighting each other. Deku trying to prove that he is on the same level as Bakugo, and Bakugo trying to prove that he is the next successor for All Might.
The thing is, like, Bakugo at the end of Season 3 basically tells, which I loved that dynamic, where he feels guilty for what happened to All Might. But at the same time, once he realizes that like Deku was given the power, he has this kind of internal struggle of, like, All Might, why didn't you give me the power? Could you imagine the power of All Might with Bakugo's already natural ability? And so what he tells Deku at the end is, or at least this is how I interpret it, it's like, listen, you have the greatest ultimate power. For some reason, All Might trusted it to you. And because you have this power, you better never let me beat you again. Like, there's no... He basically told Deku, there is no reason why I should have beat you with the power that you have. The only reason why I beat you is because I try harder than you. So, like, basically get your shit together, bro. Like,
but the thing is who did the villains take also?
Yeah, because he has that natural ability. I mean...
No, but, like, again... He... Like, there's so many calls to... This could be a thing that happened. Now, they could go a totally opposite route. He could go with... I can't remember the villain's name, but the one with the hand on his face.
I can't remember his name either.
He could apprentice. Give him the power. The apprentice for All For One. He could give him the power. But... It would be a very... I wouldn't see it as a crazy sell if they ended up going the route of, hey, Bakugo is also now the successor for All For One, and now he is the villain. And not a villain like in the sense of like the same as All For One, but a villain in the sense of he now has a power that can compete with All Might's power.
I don't know. We'll have to see. I feel like that was a basically abstract way of us saying, like, this is what we would like to see in season four.
It's also, the season four trailer came out. There's a lot going on with the upperclassmen and what's next for the overall class and what are they going to do? Who's going to move forward? Who's going to move back? What happened to Todoroki during his process? I think there's so much complexity to it, but it's such a good anime. I'm really, really, really looking forward to season four and seeing how overall they change the story up. Because there's also a storyline about, like, everybody's assuming Todoroki's brother, part of the villains now. What happened to the burns on his body and his face? How does he have blue flame? Whose son is he? Is he a son of Todoroki's mother? Is he like a stepbrother throughout this process?
A love child.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to finding out that as well. But that's it for this episode of Fantasy Movie Mashup. We'll see you next week.
See you guys.